So we're looking for some insight into what it's like to sit down at the table with George Mitchell as a mediator, particularly a high-level Mideast mediator in a conflict zone that's so intractable. George Mitchell is Barack Obama's Middle East envoy, named by Hillary Clinton. Joining us now is Gerry Adams, president of the Irish and Northern Irish political party Sinn Féin. And Gerry Adams was in the middle of it when George Mitchell negotiated the Good Friday Accords, which ended the conflict in Northern Ireland, Britain. Maybe there's still some conflict going on, but certainly the guns have been put down. Gerry Adams, what is it like to sit across the table from George Mitchell and get parties that aren't really inclined to talk to one another to actually make peace and find some common ground?
No, George, as you probably know, had a judicial career in the USA. He also was in the Senate for a very, very long time. He is very quietly spoken, good-humored, very decent, and hugely patient. And I think he brought all of those qualities to our process before he became the chair of the talks, which led to the Good Friday Agreement. Of course, he had been appointed by President Clinton to act as an envoy. He had then been chair of what was a decommissioning body, which then came up with principles, which allowed people to sign up to nonviolence. That was everybody who was involved, governments as well as others. So when it actually came to the Good Friday Agreement negotiations, he had been around the process for some time. He also, when he arrived in to chair those meetings, was barred from entering the room by the unionist, and in fact had to sit in his own room for 2 days.
No kidding.
So you can see, you know, that he is well-equipped in his own right, in his own political career in the USA, and his career on the bench, but by dint of his personality, to come at these issues with considerable ability. Now,
well, Gerry Adams, so it sounds like from what you're saying that at the very least, Hamas is not going to faze George Mitchell if he, you know, was able to have the patience to deal with the unionists.
Well, I don't want to compare the two, but a lot of the success or failure of any process in the Middle East will depend in the first instance on the people who live there. I mean, George Mitchell, and he's a friend of mine, and I'm very proud to have known him. I continue in contact with him occasionally. But he didn't make peace in Ireland. He would tell you that himself.
Right.
The people who made peace are the people who live here.
Well, let's talk strategy and tactics in the actual negotiations. Is George Mitchell the kind of person that drives to the hard issues immediately or picks apart the problem in a way that it can be easily or more easily handled by the parties?
Well, two responses to that question. In the first instance, it depends on his brief. At one point in the course of our discussions here, I said to him, you know, Senator, this is about getting justice. This is about getting a totally different dispensation. And I went on in this vein for some time. And then he said to me, well, that isn't my brief. So it depends on the brief that he has. Now, as it has turned out, because of measures and protocols that we have put in place as part of the Good Friday Agreement, there is increasing equality, there is increasing justice. But I just make that point, you know, George can only fulfill whatever brief he is given. Secondly, it needs the very, very active support of the international community. There is no onus on the Israeli government, or indeed one could argue for people in leadership on the Palestinian side, to actually make peace unless there is an incentive for them to do it. So there is a process in the Middle East without peace. It's been an ongoing process now.
So you remind us that the process has to be viable and that the goal of Barack Obama has to be aggressive enough that George Mitchell has something to offer.
Yes, and, you know, then the rest of it, you know, I mean, and George is a good listener. He was dealing with the unionists. The unionists went through the Good Friday Agreement without talking directly to Sinn Féin. They went through that entire process.
Right.
And, you know, bear in mind, the Good Friday Agreement is at least 10 years old now. And there are still quibbles over elements of it. It would have been a much better agreement if the unions had talked to us. They now talk to us, which obviously is a good thing. But it is possible to get an agreement, but the agreement will only stick by dint of right. the political will of those who are participating. And I'll say this very clearly. I think it might be a cliche by now. It's easy to make peace with your friends. It's making peace with your enemies, which is the challenge.
And right, and I think that's said often talking about the Middle East. Before we go, when you saw George Mitchell there in Union Station as you were on your way to the seas of people in the inauguration, what did you say to him?
Well, we actually joked. It was in my head to ask him about the Middle East because there had been some press speculation. I sort of came up behind him and shoved against him. He was on the phone. He was trying to organize a lift. And his family was with him. So we just joked. We just joked at the amazing coincidence that we would bump into each other on such a day. But let me make a last point, if I may.
Sure.
What the U.S. government does on the issue of the Middle East will be absolutely pivotal to there being a peace settlement. And Sinn Féin's position, because we're not against Israel, we understand a lot of what happens, but we are against the killings, whoever carries them out, and the security, the actual security of Israel is totally linked to the security of the Palestinian territories. The two regions, the two states, and the future security and prosperity and harmony between the people of those two states is absolutely linked.
And that's something that Israelis and Palestinians have reiterated to us. The question is, will that be the goal and the sort of mantra in the talks that George Mitchell oversees in the Middle East? Jerry Adams, I can't tell you how happy we are that you were able to join us this morning.
Okay, John, and good luck, and good luck to George Mitchell and to the people of Palestine and the people of Israel.
Sharing his familiarity about George Mitchell, now a Middle East envoy, is Jerry Adams, president of the Irish and Northern Irish political party Sinn Féin. So as we've been talking about all morning, one upside of tough economic times is that we hear some big ticket items are coming way down in price, perhaps as much as 70%. So give us some advice about where the good deals are.
Yes, my name is Doris Barton. I was in an outlet or a Marshall's, and I bought a pair of pants for $3. Those pants would have probably cost me more like $50, but I felt sort of guilty because those pants were not made in this country, and I know that there was a lot of labor involved in them. So I feel a little bit damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Some would call that the global economy. What are you seeing in your city or town? What's the best deal you've seen because of bad economic times? And what's your reaction when you actually pay that lower price as you look at the label and see what it means? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Here's your takeaway.
You're not going to get a ton of credit as a group for voting for it. I mean, it's still going to be Barack Obama's bill. It's still going to be a Democratic Congress. What your only hope is that it fails, and you could then say, I told you so.
That's Chris Hayes, Washington, D.C. editor of The Nation, talking about the stimulus bill that passed last night without a single Republican vote for it. We're always on. If you missed anything, take our podcast. You can hear Chris Hayes' interview. I'm John Hockenberry. Adora Udoji will be back tomorrow. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.